Have you heard All of the Above with Norman Lear? So far, Norman's had conversations with Amy Poehler, Gerard Carmichael, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Charles Barkley, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, Stephen Tobolowsky, Martin Sheen, and last week it was Kevin Bacon.
When they say action, I don't want to feel like it's Kevin. I want to feel like it's, you know, in this case, Dick.
And don't forget to check out this week's episode with America Ferrara.
When I speak out and speak politically, I don't think of myself as speaking as an artist. I think of myself speaking as a person, as a citizen, as a woman.
All of the Above with Norman Lear. New episodes every Monday on the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Stone Friend. Thanks for all you do for us. How you doing, Drew?
I'm good. Let's see. We did our Kathy thing I wanted to talk about. Calls. Say good day.
I got Philly cheesesteak in studio.
Yeah, he's a little distracted.
He's laying down now, I think. With his move, he likes to get up on me and then slide my stool backwards. Yeah,
so you literally can't control that when that happens, because it looks like he's like – it looks like you're volitionally pushing it back. It's so natural.
Yeah. Now he's taking a little rest. This is a weird guy. He has a witching hour, which is usually about 8 p.m., and he also knows I'm the guy to come mess with. So he comes messes with me, and he just barks in my face like as loud
at night?
He can. If I'm sitting at my computer about 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, he comes over. He gets up on me, puts his paws on me, starts smacking me with his paw, and then he just barks right
it's
in
funny
my
how
face my, as loud as he can.
Our dog does that too, and it's funny how some dogs are sort of vocal.
Yeah,
our new dog, our young dog is that. Our older dog's not a peep ever.
Well, the thing that's interesting is Phil pretty much only barks at me. He doesn't. If somebody knocks on the door, he doesn't bark, and he doesn't bark at squirrels in the backyard. But he comes to me and he wants to tussle.
He wants to get going.
He wants me to come after him. He wants me to chase
him.
What's
he doing? He did a whole perimeter check.
He's
here.
He's just doing it. I got him. I got him trained to sniff out drugs and backyard fruit, man.
So,
all right.
Because you called our French tile guy LeBeau during the filming of the Adam and Friends Build Stuff episode, I watched two episodes of Hogan's Heroes last night.
Mm.
And I kept saying, there's LeBeau. There's LeBeau. That's
there's LeBeau. LeBeau. Yeah.
But it was her motivation. She motivated the viewer. It was not me going to watch Hogan's Heroes.
Hold on.
It was very strange.
Hold on. She motivated?
She picked it and was watching it.
Wait a minute. I'm confused now. You have your French tile guy.
You mentioned LeBeau.
I call him LeBeau.
And I'm not sure if she went to watch Hogan's Heroes because.
Hold on. You keep saying she. Were you talking about your wife?
Yeah.
Okay, I somehow missed the wife part.
Well, she was there when you mentioned LeBeau.
Yeah,
Didn't quite understand it.
Didn't get the reference.
She didn't really get it. And,
okay.
And so I was kept saying, Hogan's Heroes. So now here's Hogan's Heroes.
Hold on, a chick not getting a joke? What? It's got to be a first. Go ahead.
But a couple observations about Hogan's Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, what's the guy's name? Ken, the guy that plays Hogan. Ken Barry, is that his name?
No. I'll get to the.
He was a whack job, right? He had a
Washington?
Really, No.
I'll think of it. Not Ken.
It's not Ken?
No. Ken Barry is from.
Oh, yeah,
F-Drew.
I know. Right.
It's sad. Ask me who the vice president is. I don't know.
Can we do
looking
keep,
for.
Is it still
what's
Biden?
The character's name?
Theme song, F Troop?
Hogan?
Theme song?
Oh, I know. Oh, hold on a second. It scares me that
Bob Crane.
Bob Crane.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Bob Crane was
a wacky dude, right? He was the one.
Well, Bob Crane is an interesting guy because Bob Crane
quickly after you.
Right. Bob Crane was a radio DJ in Los Angeles.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was started off as a pretty big radio guy in Los Angeles. Huh. Then he became a Disney movie guy.
Oh.
He was Disney used to crank out a lot of live action, like the goose that laid the $1 million eggs, or Shaggy D.A. and
a lot of wilderness sort of videos.
Well, they did. They did like Swiss Family Robinson stuff. But they cranked out a lot of Kurt Russell was a star in Disney movies from back in the 60s. and maybe even the 70s. So they had these. See, Disney cranked out this like live action comedy sort of stuff with these group of like familiar faces, but they're mostly familiar because it was their. You saw the last Disney film where the guy played the dad, whatever, and they had the world's greatest athlete, Jan Michael Vincent. They had Gus, the mule that kicked field goals. Remember that?
I do.
Good. Best scene in every bad sports movie when a dog or a mule is playing. They're like, the ref runs to the sideline because the other coach is complaining. And they go, you show me in the rule book where it says a donkey can't kick field goals. It's like, well, of course it doesn't say a donkey, because then it would have to say an ostrich. I have to pick every animal on Noah's Ark.
That's exactly right.
There was just a thing, and when they can't find in the yearbook, in the rule book, where it says a giraffe can't play center field, then they go, my hands are tied, coach, and the ref runs to the other side.
But the strange thing to me is how Disney just doubled down on this crap. I don't understand. It wasn't until Michael Eisner arrived that they just turned.
So they would crank this stuff out. So Bob Crane was that guy. Now, we're talking about Kathy Griffin last show. Mm. Well, Bob Crane also had an addiction to pornography and beyond.
Beyond, right? I mean, pornography is a little piece of the story.
He needed it. And it was back when the stuff wasn't readily available. Right. I mean, you had to work. You couldn't just pop open your computer.
Like, he had weird dens he would maintain.
There was a lot of stuff going on. But so here you are on this over-the-top sitcom, and here you are, the star of Disney movies.
Yeah.
And you have this bizarre, dark, sort of macabre, pornographic. And this is back before, you know, people, porn, who cares? Yeah, everyone's done a little, looked on Pornhub or done a little porn in their day or whatever. No, this was a big deal. And so he's living this sort of life of, hey, it's like Bill Cosby. Like, hey, I'm everyone's dad. I'm the greatest dad. He's playing dad in all these Disney movies. And then, of course, it starts to leak out. He marries his co-star in Hogan's Heroes, like the blonde, like Olga or whatever.
The secretary for Clink.
Right, yeah. Right. The hot blonde. Of course, he marries her and then leaves his wife. And the people start finding out about this, you know, the little stories about the porn addiction and the pictures and the stuff. And, of course, Disney's like, hey, man, you know, we'd like to do another movie with you, but we're Disney and Fraulein Helga. That's right.
Is that the character?
I'm way off with Olga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Hilda, Helga, Hilda. Right, the point is this. This stuff is going back to the 60s. Disney, you know, now CNN is saying to Kathy Griffin, but they're saying to Bob Crane, we can't do another one of those wacky G-rated daddy movies with this sort of weird porn obsession thing in the tabloids.
Yeah.
You know, we're not putting you on the poster of our movie when everyone's going to think about porn when they see you. So that kind of ended that. And he was then just sort of doing dinner theater in Arizona.
Is that after Hogan's Heroes, or what brought him back for Hogan's Heroes?
I think the Hogan's Heroes came to an end, and I think as Hogan's Heroes came to an end, the whole pornography, he had the rap out there that this guy's kind of poison. You know, like, you don't want to hire Bob Crane to be in your movie or to be in your sitcom or whatever. There's all this weird stories about him and porno and sex dungeons and weird parties and watching and stuff like that.
Today, that'd be sort of like nothing.
I think it's Drew Carey's, it's called Thursday for Drew Carey.
But not only that, you'd be like, hey, man, you're reading Sex Negative. Leave him alone.
Yeah. So it was a big deal. And so he had to work. And so he was doing like dinner theater in Phoenix. And he was, you know, after the show, getting the chicks to come back with him to his room and with his buddy and filming him having sex and filming his buddy having sex. And just,
that was wild back then. Like, oh, I mean, like, otherworldly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, and then, you know, his buddy killed him, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was murdered. I thought he committed suicide.
Drew, what don't you know about everything? He was bludgeoned to death.
Oh, kidding.
Very famously, huh, with like a piece of equipment, like tripod or whatever, and then like choked with like a lamp cord and left in his room. And it's
as part of one of these bizarre parties, or
I don't know. If it is part of the party, I don't see the invitation.
You know what I mean? I mean, it sounds like drugs and alcohol.
No, he had this sort of AV expert partner guy. Mm. It's all in a movie.
They did a movie. I know that. Yeah.
He had this AV expert partner guy. And this guy would say, I can get you. Sony has a new Betamax. You know, we can use, we don't have to develop the film anymore. We can do it on a tape. Mm-hmm. You know, we could watch it later that night. And of course, no matter the real star in Hollywood is your AV guy. It's not Brad Pitt. It's Brad Pitt's AV guy, because he's trying to show films at his house and have movie night and stuff, and the speakers don't work. You know, got to get the AV guy. That's who the real star of Hollywood is, the AV guy. And so Bob Crane is like, I can get this, I can get that. I can get the early production one or this. I got this. You know, it's the size of a piece of Samsonite, but that was considered miniature, you know, back then. They didn't have to have a truck filled with equipment, and he could film all this stuff. And it appeared that this guy sort of kept wanting more.
More involvement? Or
more involvement. Maybe that he was attracted to Bob Crane as well. There may have been some weird, you know, sort of bisexual stuff going on.
Oh, I see. It's the relationship.
There may be, and then it was one of these things where I think Bob Crane was sort of like, this guy's pretty dark and pretty nuts. And each time I'm with a chick, I feel somebody's hand on my balls and it's him, you know. And I think Bob was just like, I think I got to get a little distance from this guy. And of course, these guys are always the same guy, which is, where are you going? Oh, no, you're not going anywhere. And everyone, now this is before DNA and forensic this and that, all, every arrow in the world pointed to this guy. But back then it was like, hey man, unless there was a third person who witnessed this, it's his word against the dead guy's word. And this guy just sort of went free. And they never found the killer. By the way, when you never find the killer, it means it's the first guy. It's like,
right.
It's of course.
Particularly the first guy declares he's going to find it. I'm going to find that killer.
Of course it's OJ, because we've never found, if it wasn't OJ, there'd be somebody else. And that sounds insane, right? Yes. So they never found the killer. This guy went free. And years later, like maybe 25, 30 years later, they found some. They were able, now DNA caught up, and they were able to do some DNA or whatever. They were able to link him. I think he actually got sentenced and went to, and he did go to prison, and then like died immediately in prison.
Oh.
So it wasn't that satisfying. Gary, I don't know what the story is. Gary's saying no.
He was at first, they investigated. They were investigating. This guy became a person of interest. They found his rental car. He had like come into Phoenix from out of town. They discovered him through some videotape, found his rental car, had blood smears in it. Mm. They tried to test it. The Scottsdale Police Department did not have a homicide division at the time, because it was a very small police department.
Quaint,
and
right?
Yeah.
They basically found this guy's car with a bunch of blood, but decided there wasn't enough evidence. They didn't file charges. Wow. Then like 5 years, 5 to 10 years later, something like that.
Why do you know all this?
I'm just reading
about it.
Okay,
reading. I read. That's good. What I do.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure it's not something that's.
He's 31. Of course he knows all of this stuff. That's what the kid's doing.
I'm a huge Hogan Heroes fan.
Go ahead. Fucking computer in front of me.
Yeah,
retard.
I understand, but he's not reading it while he's doing it. But go ahead.
Well,
he's good. Okay, go ahead.
Then a few years.
Just checking.
Why do you know? Okay.
A few years later, they had some more advanced technology, and they elected to arrest and try him. Mm. At the trial, he was acquitted and maintained his innocence until 4 years later when he died. So he never. He may have been in jail while he was being tried, but he was never convicted or sent to prison.
Let's talk about cars
for the crime.
True car.
And
true
he
car.
Never and it posthumously was whatevered or something.
This says here. This is what I was reading at the very end. In November 2016, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office permitted Phoenix television reporter John Hook to submit the blood samples from 78 for retesting using a more advanced DNA technique. And this is the line I was trying to figure out. Two sequences were identified, one from an unknown male and the other two degraded to reach a conclusion. And that's the end of the article.
Oh, so it does not point towards him.
It points towards a male.
But an unknown male doesn't match him.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, so the way I heard it, at least. Now, so do we think this? We think he did it, or well, whatever.
It seems like everyone thinks that he did it, but
right. The evidence never went to
suggest. But he was able to raise
evidence
enough.
Evidence does not suggest.
Well, maybe I'm not sure if everything what Gary just said. I'm not totally sure how to interpret that. But anyway,
right.
TrueCar.
They can help you buy used or new. Right, there are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from the over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Be like Max Spad and get yourself a used car. And these days, these pre-owned vehicles, I almost wonder why you buy new cars anymore. But I'm just saying. I don't know. But TrueCar has used as well as new. So whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get that upfront pricing. You'll see what other people pay for the car you want. You'll learn about that car. You'll learn what the market is bearing in your vicinity. You'll learn what a fair price is. You'll lock in that fair price and connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer. And the price you lock in is for actual inventory, and you will enjoy a quick, easy buy experience. The price is for an actual car on the TrueCar certified dealer's lot. You also can get discounts off the list price you cannot get anywhere else, and overall, a better buying experience. Remember, scattergram, information, TrueCar, discounts off the list price you can't get anywhere else, and it's locked in for a vehicle on the TrueCar certified dealer's lot. So when you're ready to buy new or used, don't forget, pre-owned, go to TrueCar. Some features not available in all states.
All right. Let's talk.
He's been on hold forever.
All right. Let's talk to line four. Jesus
Christ.
He's
just been on hold forever.
Josh, 30, Newport Beach.
Yeah. Hey.
Drew's thought on medication. What the hell is that?
It's a new medicine.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Xeljanz. So I have like full blown alopecia areata universalis. So, like I don't have any hair anywhere on my body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this medication, these days. Yeah. And this medication, I guess, was originally used to treat rheumatoid arthritis. And now they're looking at, it's been pretty successful for treating some cases of alopecia.
Yeah.
When I talked to my doctor, you know, he seemed pretty excited about it. But when I did a little bit of research online, it just kind of looked like you're basically trying to take care of a mouse problem with an atom bomb. Like it shuts down part of your immune system.
It's a pretty intense medicine. I sort of think of it as something that's used in real resistant active rheumatoid arthritis. It would probably work. It makes sense to me to work. But you gotta
remember, hair.
For immune attack on your hair follicles.
All right. Hey, Josh, do you have eyebrows?
I do not.
He has nothing.
No
hair anywhere.
No, I get it. But so the thing, I'm really breaking this down because of this fucking horrible society we've created where everyone is like shaving their taint and stuff and guys are completely hairless and that's the way they like it kind of thing. You know, this was a big deal. You didn't want to be bald in the 70s and you didn't want to have, they'd say, puts hair on your chest. Yeah. Or, that guy's a man. He's got hair on his chest. Now you're penalized for hair. I'm thinking like, eyebrows are a concern.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, they are.
Eyelashes.
But eyelashes are a concern. Yeah. But your back, your shoulders, your upper arms, your chest.
Not anymore. Yeah.
So, and being bald, not anymore. So it's really, to me, just about eyebrows and eyelashes. How's the eyelashes going?
Not good. So the eyelashes I can't get to grow at all. What I have been doing for the eyebrows is getting intralesional steroid injections. Jeez, so going in like every couple months.
All right. Yeah, okay.
And then I usually get 8 to 10 injections at a time.
Does it work?
Wow.
It kind of works, but not really. Like it's really weird. Actually, being out in the sunlight helps quite a bit. So in the summertime, it's much more effective.
Can't they do hair transplants? I could be a donor, by the way, for the brow. No, why not brow?
It attacks the hair follicle,
so you won't accept. It won't accept anything.
Yeah,
it won't stay. Yeah.
I'm almost thinking about like a Merkin kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
We're like in Last Man on Earth, where Bill Hader's wearing those Merkins on his eyebrows.
I did not know that. But when I honestly, like, I feel like we're good enough today to do like a toupee,
aesthetic. Yeah, you probably could.
I think.
I mean, I don't. Honestly, I'm fine with being bald. I don't care about that. It's more about the eyebrows and the eyelashes.
I agree.
Too much success with that.
So listen. So you ask about the Xeljanz. So it is a medicine that there have been concerns about. It actually did not get approval in the European Union because of these concerns. The rest of the world has it. Here's what I would do if I were you. The Department of Dermatology at Yale School of Medicine is sort of the ground zero for alopecia totalis, which is what you have. And they have a bunch of protocols going, or I don't know about a bunch of protocols. They've got a whole big group of patients that they're studying and having good effect with, apparently. I read some publications about a year or two ago that looked very encouraging on this. I would touch base with them, see what they're doing, have your doctors touch base with them, and you make sure you're getting the state of the art. It sounds like what they're doing is a little bit – it's aggressive, but it's not necessarily the state of the art. So check in with Department of Dermatology, Yale School of Medicine.
Sandra, 56, Monterey.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Good. I was just wondering if you ever thought about Sonny being maybe taking after your father as far as being kind of just a flatliner and not really moving the needle and an old cat or something.
Wow,
kind of
cat.
Every time you say something like that, it kind of makes me think, well, he's taking after his grandpa.
Yeah, he's got a little of that in him. I will say this. The thing that I think separates my dad and my mom to some degree from Sonny is Sonny has things he's interested in and things he's not interested in. And he's not interested in what his hair looks like. Mm. There's no interest in it. It's a waste of his time. He's not
doesn't
getting
move the needle.
It's not getting laid. He's 10 years old. He doesn't care.
Not for that,
so,
anyway.
You know, I told him this morning, hey, we're getting you a haircut. And he's like, well, maybe, okay. Or not. Doesn't.
That's a waste of my time.
It does not
Natalia
care.
Takes so much after her grandmother as far as Lynette's mother that you guys
mentioned. Oh, yeah, it's a little scary.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see that.
Well, no, but no. Lynette's mom was a whirling dervish.
Yeah.
And Lynette's mom would just kind of go, you know, just hear her on the other end of the house, and she'd just go like, woo-wee! You know, woo! But then she'd like go, woo! Thank you, God! You know, woo! And Natalia, you will hear her just scream on the other side of the house, woo-woo! Like, and then also, like, I was watching Natalia devour a chicken leg, and she's like pulling the cartilage off the end and sucking the marrow out and pulling every part, like the skin and the gristle and everything. Max Pato eats shrimp tails for fucking like a manatee over there. He's nodding furiously, but I was just staring at her and I was going, what the hell? Like 8-year-old is like fisting this chicken bone and like breaking off all the stuff you don't want.
Yeah.
She's breaking it off and devouring it. And I thought, that's my grandma used
Your
to do
grandma.
That. My grandmother, I remember she'd be like, the gristle, the marrow, like the skin, that's the best part. And everyone would be sitting around the table kind of going, I like the meat under the thing, the neck, but I'm not eating the end of the weird end of the chicken bone off. Natalia, it's 7, devouring it.
Wow.
And I'm like, I think that's my grandma. I think she's got my grandma going over there. I don't know where this comes. You know, Sonny went nothing to do. You know, he wants a chicken tender.
Your grandma's ethnicity again?
I don't know. Nobody checked. Nothing, just sort of English, Irishy.
Western European.
Sort of. Yeah, just white. But anyway.
It sounds like such a bohemian, you know, Eastern, Northern European thing.
I don't, no one knows what anyone was, but we did find out she was a daughter of the revolution.
Yeah.
We found that out.
We need to do a ancestry thing on him.
Somebody
make
did
him
it on.
Get, you know, get it and make him spit in the thing. And
I have zero interest in this. I have zero interest in it. It all falls on it. And I'll bet you Sonny would have no interest in it either.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be interesting if, you know.
No. You know what Jimmy Kimmel said to me, and this made me interested?
Yeah.
He said, you should do one of those ancestry things. And again, Sonny and me, and I'll explain my dad in a second. It doesn't make any difference to me. It's not whatever I'm doing, I'm doing. It's from this day forward. When I hear people talk about, you know, I don't like it when black leaders talk about slavery all the time. It's like, okay, that happened. Now what's going on tomorrow? Please, let's focus on what's going on. Yeah, but you can't deny this happened. No one's denying it happened. We're looking for what's going on tomorrow. Yeah, but you got to look at the future. You want to look forward. I'm like, no, you don't. Just let's talk about what we're going to do tomorrow. No, can't deny this. It's like, okay. By the way, that is the path to a fucking cinder block wall, whether it's an individual or a whole society. That is a path to zero success. And you can make all the fucking faces you want, Drew, but why is it 2017? Everyone's going, what's going on in the black community? It's not helping. It's not for any community.
How about the Armenians and the way they worry about the genocide?
They've moved on.
They're all right.
Thank you, Drew.
I'm just saying. I always like when you do this. That was the push. That's why I made the push.
No, the Armenians, look, can I say this?
I'm just saying.
No, you're not, because I'm going to fucking shut you down in a second.
Please do.
Mark Garagos is passionate about the Armenian genocide.
Yeah.
But he never cites it as a reason why the Armenians aren't doing better in this country.
Okay.
You understand the difference there? Yeah. If the Armenians said, because of the genocide, we can't flourish here, of course our test scores are lower. What about the genocide? And if they did, you would tell them that's not beneficial to you in 2017, living in Glendale, California. Understand it, accept it, do whatever you have to do once a year to commemorate it, or have a parade or a march or whatever, or get a plaque. And now it's time to go to work. That's the difference. I'm glad you brought that up and shot yourself in the foot. Okay. My dad, the difference between Sonny and my dad is my dad doesn't have anything that flips his cookie. I mean, he likes a little jazz and he likes pontificating, but he doesn't really. Sonny doesn't care about his hair and doesn't care about what his dress is and doesn't care about a million and one things. School's probably half of that. But he does care about the NBA, and he does care about the NFL, and he does care about many things that he enjoys. And he likes humor. He likes he likes going with me to the car races. You know, he has things. Whereas my dad is truly just a flatliner. That's the difference. And I'm the same way. I've no interest in many things.
Yeah.
No matter how much people want to get me into Walking Dead or Game of Thrones or whatever. Call of Duty, whatever video game, zero. But insanely interested in 3-piece BBS wheels. Drew likes my obsession with wheels. And I am very interested in protecting my identity with LifeLock, man. There's an email phishing scam. It targeted 1 million users of a document editing application.
Sheesh.
The invite to open a document looked like it came from a known contact. So a lot of people fell prey to this ruse, this grift. And they opened it in the files. Scammers collected their information, including all their contacts. Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. That is why I have LifeLock. Lynette has LifeLock. The kids have LifeLock. And Philly Cheesesteak down there somewhere. I think we got him signed up as well. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect your info, they send you an alert. It's that simple. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based agents will work to fix it. They're out here. They're U.S.-based. They don't outsource. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, all business, but LifeLock. It's the best, and it starts at just $9.99 a month, Drew.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code ADAM, that is ADAM, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. Improv coming up Thursday, June 15th. Dennis Prager up on stage. Irvine Improv. Everyone loves those shows. We'll hang out afterward and say hi. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Find out about the live shows and the movies and NoSafeSpaces.com and all the good stuff. Drewski.
Go to Dr.com, get the family of pods there. Me and Spaz, me and Bob Forrest, check them all out.
So,
excuse me. What's up with Dr. Drew podcast right now? Is it calls?
Phone calls.
Calls. Yeah, really interesting calls, call shows. Yeah.
Till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.